Hey, welcome Potters to episode 44 of CosPod, the podcast for all things cosplay. I'm Amber, if you're here for the first time, and my lovely co-host here.
I'm Valerie. Hi, people. Sorry if I sound like I'm in sexy voice mode. I've been yelling all weekend.
No, that's just how she normally sounds.
Sexy voice.
At any rate, we have got some wonderful content for you today. Val actually just got back not too long ago from Anime Fest. And will be telling us all about her experiences there, for good or bad. I'm not entirely sure because I haven't heard myself yet.
Keeping everybody in the dark.
Something like that. I will also be filming a little bit of a sectioned weapon tutorial later on today. It will be as a Bicento, but it can be used for other sorts of weapons, staves and spears and the like. So I will be filming that later on today. Assuming the weather cooperates, because it has been raining all morning here, go figure.
Which has been a blessing and a curse. If you live in our area of Texas, after it rains, it tends to get really humid, really fast, like to the point where you step outside, and since we both wear glasses, our glasses fog up immediately. Yeah, not so fun.
That's what happened to me this morning, right after I got out of the car from the grocery store, and my glasses just went whoosh. And then I couldn't see anything until they cleared up, which actually took a few seconds.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, it must be really humid outside, at least more than normal.
It just sucks every freaking time it happens. Ugh.
Plus, I'm sure it didn't help the Anime Fest people who were trying to pack up and check out of the hotel and leave in the rain. Because, of course, Anime Fest is actually still going. I think, in fact, it will end here in about 45 minutes, officially.
Yay, four-day weekend.
Yeah, most of the conventions that take place Labor Day weekend are four-day conventions, so there's still people at Dragon Con, there's still people at PAX Prime. I don't know if Lone Star Con is still going.
Yes.
So there's definitely still things going on. So, you know, in that same vein, if you are at one of these conventions or were at one of those conventions and have pictures and or video that you would be willing to share with us and let us post up on the website, please do send those to us or at least send us a message saying, hey, I have these things. Here's where you can find them. You can send us a note on Facebook. You can send it to us on DeviantArt. You can tweet us or you can send us an email at podcast@cospod.org and just let us know that we can put them up on the website and I'll have those up next weekend. That said, I will be filming the tutorial assuming weather cooperates, and we're also going to have a little bit of a discussion about body image since that came up recently with Heroes of Cosplay, which I think everybody and their brother by this point has heard of Heroes of Cosplay.
Oh my god, we were talking about it so much this weekend.
And I do believe that just about everybody at this point at least has an opinion, even if they're not willing to share it publicly, which is fine. Publicly. English! Speak it! Yes.
We know this not is... know English here.
This has been a long weekend for me, and I have not had a long weekend since May, which would be Memorial Day weekend, which was before Akon. So it's been a long time since I've actually had time off to myself where I wasn't having to do stuff. So I've kind of really been mentally lax. Last night didn't help. For those who have been following me on Facebook, I spent a good portion of my time last night ranting about HTML because I've been recoding part of the CosPod website. I'm trying to make the podcast section of the site where you actually like watch us and what we're doing a little bit easier to navigate when you want to find old shows or if you're looking for a particular segment, like a tutorial or an interview. And I don't know HTML. I am a complete noob when it comes to coding and program. Well, I'm not a noob when it comes to programming because I actually have had, you know, formal C++ training. But I don't know very much about HTML, so it's kind of like, you know, the monkey in the cage, and here's food in a little plastic box, and the monkey has to know to hit the button to make the box open and you get the food. I'm really good at smashing buttons just to see what they do until I find the button that does what I want it to do.
Oh, goodness.
So that's part of why I'm so mentally exhausted, is I spent 3 hours last night banging my head against the brick wall that is HTML until I finally got it working the way I wanted it to work, and all I had to do was switch two lines of code. It took me 2 hours to figure out that I had to just switch the order of two lines of code.
I apologize for not being around because I do know HTML.
So,
I was coding things on the internet before the internet was famous.
So this is Amber's excuse why I'm just kind of mentally not here. At least I didn't dream about it this time.
Ah, so sad.
You ever have that problem where, this happens to me with cosplay a lot, if you run into a problem that you just cannot solve as you're sitting there, I work it out subconsciously, apparently, in dreams?
I've done that a couple of times, too, and it's just, I don't know what that is. It says a lot that we start dreaming about cosplay and dreaming about our problems.
I was going to say, I don't necessarily dream about cosplay in particular, but I do dream about the issues that I have in cosplay trying to do stuff. How do I make this section staff look a certain way? How do I make my armor attached to my body without the attachments being visible? That sort of
right.
thing.
And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
So since we're segueing into what we've been working on, and I have obviously been banging my head against the Cospod website, you may also notice I sound and look a little different. That's because I have a brand new computer. Hooray!
Yay! Again, I'm going to say the joke, you look different because you're now a completely different race and gender. Same.
Yes, totally. No, I should be slightly more HD now, and my sound should be like 3 times better.
It's Amber, but crisper.
Yes, I am crispier. Yes, I have spent a good portion of my time over the last week setting up my Windows 8 desktop, because for those who have had the glory that is getting to know Windows 8, know that there is much to be desired and much to be tweaked.
I hate Windows 8.
So I did that, and I installed Linux on my laptop so that I can attack my desktop with it. Yes, I am in training to be an ethical hacker. I am going to attack my own network.
Sweet!
Not very cosplay-ish. You know, the cosplay I've been working on has been things for the Bacento tutorial and basically the Cospod website. Because I started school last Monday, so yeah, I'm back in school again. So unfortunately, that is going to mean less cosplay, but it's less intensive than the Cisco courses I was taking. So I might actually have time to get stuff done on cosplay.
Good. That's something.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
And last but not least, and I will stop rambling. Mostly I'm trying to save your voice.
Thank you.
Is that I have been trying to purge down my stuff in my apartment because I'm starting to run out of space again, which I do periodically. And I sold a few of my older electronics on eBay, and one of them sold for 6 times more than I originally put it up for, which means that I can finally finance myself a Dremel.
Yay.
So I went and priced a Dremel 3000, which is what I think I'm going to get. It's not top of the line, but it'll do what I need it to do for what I need it to do.
Right.
So once all of my eBay stuff gets, you know, shipped out and everything works out on that, then I will take my spare money and I will go and buy myself a Dremel so that I can actually do things properly, not with this. Okay, I can't say that on a family show. not with this fake piece of crap that paints itself as a faux Dremel.
How about a flimsy Dremel? How about that?
Well, it's not even flimsy, because at least flimsy things will stay together for some period of time. This thing is... You could probably use it to trim your pet's nails, to kind of grind down your pet's nails. That's about all it's good for. I actually did a review on this. I reviewed this product in our podcast before.
Yeah, you have.
You can go see my faux Dremel review.
And know not to buy it.
Yes. It was, for $13, it was okay for a trial. And you know, I've gotten $13 worth of use out of it. But now that I'm kind of moving up in materials, it's not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we as cosplayers have to constantly improve our tools.
Right.
Just because as you work with better quality materials, you're going to need better quality tools. So that, so spending money and spending time has been what I have been working on in the last 2 weeks.
Yay!
Your turn, what you been working on?
Yeah, I don't even remember. I'm still so tired from this weekend. I didn't really sleep like I should be sleeping. You know, this is the one thing I hate about trying to get ready for a convention is that my body is so stuck on a certain sleep schedule and a certain time that it wakes up every single day that even when it's the weekend, even when I know I have a day off from work and that I can still have another extra day of sleep, I'm still going to get up at 6:30. So even if I went to bed at like 4:30 in the morning, I'm going to get up 2 hours later. So my body is just like ridiculously tired and needs lots of sleep. So my brain's a little, I'll admit to that. I don't even know what I've been working on. All I've been doing is like little touch-ups to the costumes that I've worn over this weekend. And that was, I didn't have to do anything with Raven. I had to add a couple of pieces of Sailor Mercury to make her Super Sailor Mercury because I got pulled into the Sailor Moon group at the last minute. It was like the week before, and somebody messaged me and was like, hey, do you want to be part of our Sailor Moon group? Okay. Sure, why not? So I had to touch her up a little bit to boost up her level, make her a little bit more powerful.
Level up!
Yeah, basically. And I found some more beads to add to my Layla costume because, you know, Amano needs more beads on all of his characters. I'm sure I got weighed down by all the beads I had on her. Other than that, I haven't been doing a whole lot of costuming stuff. It's mostly cleaning things out and getting stuff ready for this past weekend. Now that it's all said and done, though, I think I got to get back into making more lace for Amidala. I've got about a yard done. I've got 5 more yards to go. God.
I have to get this done
by AllCon.
There are plenty of marathons running today if you want to keep working today.
That's part of the problem. I'm too tired to work today. Today is like the lazy day. I'm trying to get some photos edited and uploaded to our site from Anime Fest, so we'll see what my brain will allow me to do. Yeah, this is going to be like editing week. And then we'll consider about getting back into crocheting all that lace.
Yeah, I think as far as the website goes, I may skip the weekly update this week.
You've been doing a lot to the site, so.
Well, it's more that I can update it today, except all it's going to say is, hey, we've got stuff. We'll put it up next weekend when we have it.
Woo! We have
stuff put together. So I think I may just skip the weekly update this week and concentrate on putting my time into, one, finishing the coding of the podcast page, and then, you know, as we get in photos and videos from convention goers, then I can be adding those to the website because I'm going to have to basically shift everything down again to make that open slot for, you know, Labor Day convention weekend stuff.
Yeah.
So I think I'm just going to wait since it's going to need such a major overhaul next weekend anyway. Which, I have a 3-day weekend next weekend, too.
What?
So I'll have... Remember I told you I was taking a couple days off in September as mental health and catch-up days?
Oh, that's part of next week, then. Aww. Man.
Yeah, I couldn't take Friday. I wasn't allowed to take any Fridays this month, so I took Mondays instead.
Good call.
So I'll have a 3-day weekend to work on the website, since that'll be a pretty big update. All right, so moving on. We've got a tutorial for you after we talk about Anime Fest!
Woo! And
by which is
we,
all you.
She means me.
Amber
no
did
we.
Not go to Anime Fest, so this is all you. Enjoy.
Just enjoy? Blah? That's it? That's my intro?
No, as in enjoy the regaling of tales that you're about to inflict upon us.
Regaling and inflict are not meant to be in the same sentence.
I say inflict because I know some of what's coming.
Crazy lady.
Told you I'm mentally blown. This is what happens when I'm tired.
Yeah, then we're both tired, so that's okay. So where do I start at? Well, I went to Anime Fest, and the only reason that I went was because they were kind enough to give us press badges again this year. And I decided, you know what, that's a worthy enough cause. I think I still want to be in their good graces. They've done a lot for us, and we've done a lot for them in return. So it's a good relationship to have with each other. So I went there on Friday, at the late afternoon, didn't stay for too long. For those who don't know, Anime Fest is a 4-day convention, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, all through the Labor Day weekend. Since today is Monday, even though we're recording this on Monday and we're releasing this on a Saturday, Sunday, I'm at home, not there today, because Mondays are usually the quiet, cranky, no one's really there doing anything day except packing up all their crap and going home. So I only made this a 3-day con for myself. And my intent this time was to focus more on walking the halls, talking to cosplayers, getting on-the-spot interviews, and getting more photos, and try to also attend a lot of group gatherings and private photo shoots. I wanted to get more of the convention scene, less of the panels, less of dealers' room and stuff like that. And because I called this Val doesn't give a crap mode, and that kind of seemed to work really, really well because I got a ton of interviews out of it, loads of videos. I have no idea how I'm going to compress all this down into like a 3-5 minute fan video. Somehow I'll do it. I still have to figure out what music I want to put it against. So it's going to take me a long ass time to get it all figured out, which is probably why it's going to take me about a week to edit this entire thing. But I do think from what I have seen and what I've witnessed and what I got, it's going to be some pretty cool stuff. I'm really excited to work on it. Hopefully the idea in my head will come out as well in video. So because of that, I didn't attend a single freaking panel. Truth be told, I didn't attend any panels.
There's nothing wrong with that.
I knew most of the people who were teaching the cosplay panels. Pharaoh was one of them. And I actually ran into him yesterday, too. We talked for a good 20 minutes. He's so awesome, and I love him as Dante. I was like, squee, fangirl mode, so awesome and cute and hot. But since I already knew most of them, I just kind of went up to them either before or after the panel. It's like, hey, you know me, I know you. If you have any of this online already, or if you have a tutorial or something you can send us, that would be awesome. No offense, I'm not recording your panel, and they're like, none taken. So I was like, okay, cool, awesome. But the one thing that I've noticed and I heard from a lot of attendees was that there just wasn't a whole lot to do this year. There was a lot of empty space and a lot of repeats of the same panels over and over again. Now, they did change the layout this year. Main events was not on the second floor next to the dealer's room. It was on the first floor this year, like they do with Akon when they used to have that hotel. What they did is they have main events, they had three panel rooms downstairs, and then they had two panel rooms upstairs, and then a dealer's room. Little confusing and kind of awkward at first, because then they also had the third floor, which had additional panel rooms as well as anime theaters, and it just got really confusing on where things were located. It also didn't help that the little guide booklet that they gave us a large book, and then they have like the mini guide.
A pocket guide.
The pocket guide. Neither one of them actually had a full schedule of what panels were going on in what locations. Yeah.
They didn't have a full, so they had a partial schedule, like day by day?
They didn't have that either.
Oh my.
Yeah. If you weren't standing outside that panel room reading to see what was going on there that day, you had no idea. It's very crappy. And it was horrible. And I just kept thinking, man, the panelists are getting screwed over every single year. That's just horrible. And I feel terrible. And I'm hoping that some of them got some large turnouts. I'm praying that they did. I know a lot of people were really happy with like the Supernatural panel and the anime dating game because that's always a big draw, as well as the ball because Masquerade Ball is always a huge hit there. But I think in general that again, not only just the location of the panels because they were all so strewn about and not having the schedule at hand really made it difficult for people to attend panels. And I think that's contributes to, feeling like there's nothing going on.
From what I understand, the panelists themselves didn't even know what time they were supposed to be teaching their panels until a week or so before the con. And so they couldn't advertise to the community and say, hey, my panel's going to be held, at this time and on this date in this room. Please come so that people could know to look for it if they weren't
Exactly.
by chance on the schedule.
Which is also so backwards when this year's Anime Fest was wanting them to, you know, kind of promote their panels 5 months in advance. You know, vote for my panel to make sure it gets on the schedule and then not know what their panel is until the week of. And it's like, okay, I can't promote stuff.
We've definitely gone off about the panel voting that was Anime Fest's debacle this year. Needless to say, I don't think it was of any benefit to the panelists themselves,
really,
or to the attendees
either,
for that matter.
But I
will
really
say that
it.
From the schedule, from or not from the schedule itself, but from the listing of panels that did end up getting approved, a lot of them were repeats from Project Akon and Alcon.
Mm-hmm.
Exact same panelists, exact same material. So for those who, you know, may not have been able to go to some of the panels and were worried that you missed things, you can always look back at our video coverage of Akon and Alcon, and chances are good you will see the videos of their panels.
Yeah, most of them are probably going to be the exact same. And the ones that I did talk to were like, yeah, it's pretty much the same panel. I didn't really add a whole lot, or I've done like one new thing. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, if you have a tutorial on it, just shoot us a link. So I'm glad I went into I don't give a crap mode, because, man, that would have been a waste of not only my time, but of missing out on potential interviews, too. I ran into a ton of cosplayers in the hall.
Speaking of cosplay.
Speaking of which, lots and lots of cosplay this year. A lot more simpler cosplays, I've noticed. But there's also been a lot of more homage to some of the old school cosplays. I've noticed a ton of like mid-90s anime as well as Toonami and Cartoon Network style costumes. That made me happy. I was like, yay, old school still making a comeback. That's super happy and smiles and fun times.
A lot of old shows are being re-released or they're being re-licensed,
which is awesome. I know Funimation has picked up a couple extras too.
Yeah, they just did. I think it was, if not at Comic-Con, it was at another recent convention where they just picked up a whole bunch of old shows that they got the licenses to.
Which makes us happy.
Hooray!
Yay.
Yeah, they licensed Fairy Tail. That makes me very happy.
Well, of course it does.
Well, they're going to be continuing that, so.
Well, of course. You know how it is. Are you going or am I going?
You can go. Go ahead. I was just going to segue, but go ahead.
I'm trying to segue too. Dang it. We're supposed to be in sync, lady.
We are. We're talking over each other. That's the problem. Go ahead.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so anyway, so continuing on cosplay, the main events panels that I did attend were, of course, the cosplay contest and the skit contest. No duh, because we're Cospod. That's what we do. We go to these contests. From what I've heard from the contestants in regards to the cosplay contest, I've heard that in terms of the judging, it ran a lot more efficiently, a lot more smoothly. The judging times themselves, like, you know, as always, took longer than usual. So, you know, somebody who came in at 4:30 didn't actually go to their slot until 5 o'clock. You know, judging times always get pushed back because stuff gets delayed and whatnot. But I heard that the actual process itself was just a lot more fluid than it had been in past years. So that was kind of nice to hear from cosplayers' perspective. The one thing that I have a big pet peeve about is the backdrop they chose this year for the main event stage. It's a beautiful backdrop. It was crafted by one of the Japanese guests, and it is phenomenal. It is gorgeous. It is fantastic. But when you're trying to photograph people on a stage, it is absolute crap. It is so many different shades and colors and
it's
a lot
busy.
Of pastels. It's just so busy, and it was such a pain to light. So when we came in, I came in about 30 minutes before. Actually, I came in during the rehearsal section because I thought they were starting earlier, but they actually pushed it back an hour later, which even weird for Anime Fest to start that late on a costume contest. But I came in 30 minutes during rehearsal just to kind of get my lighting system set up on my camera. I spent the entire time adjusting my settings, and it was myself and three other photographers doing the exact same thing because of that backdrop. It was just that horrible that we could not get our ISOs right, we couldn't get our frame rates right, nothing was syncing up until we finally got it working, and I was like, okay, I am not moving my camera from the spot because if I turn it off, if I do anything to it, I have to reset the entire thing. So that was my biggest pet peeve right then and there. I was like, oh, guys, seriously? They also still don't have a halftime show for the cosplay contest. So it was even more discouraging this year sitting in the audience and being at the front of the stage and watching as every single person in the audience left after the runway contest, like while the judging was going on. Yeah, the only people that were left were myself, a couple other photographers, and maybe like close friends and family, but it was like a handful in comparison to the full room that was in there.
So no one was there to see the awards?
No one was there to see the awards aside from the cosplayers that entered and some of the photographers. It was horrible, and I was just, I don't know why they won't do a halftime show for them. It's like, you guys do it for the skit contest.
Plus, as a cosplayer, that's really discouraging to not have people there to see you win.
Exactly. That's part of the reason you're there. I mean, you're there to show off your costume, sure, but if you win something, you want to get recognized for it as well. And it's just like, you know, a blip on your Facebook page is not the same as having people in the audience cheer for you when you go up on stage and receive your award. There's just a different feeling to that. Because nobody cares about the Facebook page, especially since A-Fest hasn't been maintaining their Facebook page at all. So, yeah, that was very disappointing. On the plus, this year, they had all of the medals ready to go.
Yeah, I'm still kind of irked at the fact that they said you had to have those picked up by this afternoon or you forfeited them.
Yeah, so I'll get to that in a second.
You do realize it would cost you under $5 to mail each of those in a little padded mailer envelope, right?
I know, and I was just like, oh. But at least they had them ready in comparison to previous years. I think they learned their lesson after last year.
Yes, well, let's not get into last year since we're talking about this year.
And I think it's probably why Kendra doesn't like me anymore. So I'm going to go on to the
anyways
now. Skit contest was last night. They always separate the runway from the skits. Skits are usually the highlight of Anime Fest every single year. But what I do know is because I've been in Anime Fest for a while and I know a lot of the people who participate in the skit contest, a lot of them weren't at Anime Fest this year. They either went to Dragon Con or they went into gamer mode and went to PAX Prime. So skits this year were left to only 4 entries. That was very odd and very strange.
And usually, very short,
which made me wonder, okay, you guys, I mean, you have to submit all your stuff well, like a month in advance before A-Fest even starts, so that way they can review your audio and all that type of stuff, blah, blah, blah. If they knew there were going to be so few skits, why didn't they just lump the runway and the skits to one night, just use that extra slot for something else? Not only would it have drawn more people in, it would have kept the crowd around throughout the entire show.
Right, especially for those who have to check out Sunday morning mm-hmm. and leave, as opposed to those who can stay.
Exactly.
Which I know that they've been trying to move, well, they, fans and attendees have been trying to get them to move the contest and the skit thing around for years now.
I'm one of those.
just for convenience sake, and Anime Fest has been fairly adamant about not moving their schedule around. They've got a pretty set schedule at this point.
They're really difficult to sway on those things, and it's one of those where you just sit there and you wonder why, because the raves start pretty late always, and they always go throughout the middle of the night. The bands never take that long, and you see other conventions where it's like, okay, they do the cosplay contest, and they have the bands afterwards. It's never been a problem. Why is Anime Fest being so different from everybody else? So it's good in theory. I just wish that they would change it up every now and then, because it's very obvious that the runways get screwed over every single year. I hate to say it so bluntly, but that's just the matter of fact. So anyway, as it comes to skits, my other thing was that whenever they do the skits, they always announce the Hall Cosplay Contest winners. I don't think they notified any of them in advance like they have in past years. Because usually they're like, hey, give us your phone number, give us your email. We'll tell you if you won so you can show up and get your award and come on stage and get it. I think they had 9 or 10 winners last night. Only 2 of them were at the contest to pick up their award. And I just kept thinking, there is no way they notified these people because I know these people. I knew some of the winners. If they knew that they had won, they would have shown up. So I'm thinking they didn't notify any of the winners this year, which was kind of a bummer. So you had a good 15 minutes of them announcing winners, and it was just, okay.
I did notice they had a lot of They had a lot of winners this year, more than has been in past years.
Oh yeah, I think they opened it up to different categories. It was like two judges awards each, and then they had, second, first, best, and like a craftsmanship. So it was a lot more hallway contest winners, which was kind of cool.
Yeah, the two judges is kind of the biggie that I remember. There were only one of each last year.
Yeah, so that was nice, and I'm sure that there were, a ton of entries because of it. But I was just like, okay, 15 minutes of us just hearing you announce names, and nobody's coming up. Okay. So it seemed like that both of the shows were very rushed, not organized from a spectator's point of view, because it seemed like they could have done more with it. But from the cosplayers and from what I've heard from them, judging wise, it went a lot more smoothly. So I guess that's a nice marked improvement. But overall, it's my experience. Honestly, I'm glad I didn't pay for a badge, because as an attendee, I think I would have been very upset. But as a press person, because I got to run around and be stupid and interview people and just hang out in general, that was a lot of fun. Thumbs up on that.
I will probably not attend next year.
I'm not going to attend next year. I'm already decided when I go to work tomorrow morning, I'm going to put in my time off request for next year so I can get a head start on getting to Dragon Con, because I want to go to Dragon Con now.
Which in my case, I am looking at going to San Japan or Tokyo and Tulsa instead, which will be held in July. Which, yes, I know that would leave enough time for Anime Fest. But to be honest, it would not leave enough budget for Anime Fest.
Exactly. It comes down to a budget thing.
Yeah, so I think I'm just going to save up and put my eggs into one of those two baskets since they are on the same weekend next year. I will have to still choose one at this point, but they're on my list for requesting time off. And I just won't return to Anime Fest until they get things organized, let's put it that way. And we're not saying these things to be mean, evil people just to bash Anime Fest.
No.
Both of us have had Anime Fest as a favorite con for years. We both used to love going to Anime Fest. It used to be one of the best cons, in this entire area of the country. But, they've got a lot of things that they need to improve upon that they have changed and have clearly gotten feedback on that attendees may or may not be in favor of those changes. And, they just have a lot of things that they need to have a look at before we consider going back.
A lot of
So
things need to be
this is,
updated.
yeah, this is constructive criticism on our part. I would definitely say that they really need to improve their communication, both between staff and attendees and interstaff or intra-staff. Since apparently somehow our application never got into the press office,
Which was so
and nobody knew what was
strange.
going on for the entire staff. So, we would really encourage the staff to be communicative with each other, also between press and cosplay staff, and then between staff and attendees, because as Val noted, their Facebook page very, very rarely got updated, and they didn't ever answer questions on it if people posted to them. It was very rare for them to answer questions posted on their Google Plus page, which is their forums now. So, as an attendee, former attendee, and as press, I would encourage them to communicate better.
Definitely.
As an attendee and as press, I would also encourage them to be a lot more organized. Not only in terms of having a very easy to read, usable schedule, but also to have layouts clearly marked and have them set in a very logical sense so that you don't have weird things in odd places like splitting panel rooms in odd ways. I would also encourage them to have a very streamlined registration process. And
It's just weird to me when you see on-site pre-reg always goes like 5 billion times faster than the pre-reg, and it's just like, what? Seriously? On-site reg gets in takes 5 minutes, whereas pre-reg is taking 3 hours. This is so backwards. You may as well spend the extra money and get the badge while you're there. I mean, that's kind of silly.
Lastly, I would encourage them to reach out to the talented cosplayers and cosplay groups that are in the DFW area and surrounding areas, and not only to network with them, because cosplay is a massive part of the anime community, not to mention the geek community, but to solicit panel material, because Anime Fest has had a lot of the same panels and panelists over the last 3 or 4 years. To be honest, guys, you need new content. You really do.
Yeah, I'm
And,
into that.
well, I mean, I'm not putting the blame on anyone in particular, but I'm saying that there is a resource out there that they can consult. There's some really awesome cosplayers, costumers, metalsmiths, woodworkers. I mean, there are some really talented people in the DFW area alone, let alone the rest of Texas, Oklahoma, Louisiana, Arkansas, New Mexico, who might be willing to come to your con if you were to offer them some sort of compensation, like, say, 25% off a badge. Say, hey, can you just come run one or two panels for us? That way, you have happy attendees because they have new content. Panelists get experience teaching their panels and having an audience. And you guys get variety in your scheduling and don't have to go to something like panel voting. And then you can also market those panelists and say, hey, look, we're going to have these guys at our con. That would be really cool. So those are just my suggestions, trying to be constructive and say, here's ways that you can improve Anime Fest. I'm not even sure if any Anime Fest staff watch this, so I may be talking to a brick wall.
Other than the people that we know directly, though, I have to say really quickly, I have to thank TMCC. They know of my issue, and I don't know if I told you the story. Saturday morning, I only have one skirt. I do not do dresses, I do not do skirts, because I think they're too cumbersome for me to wear on a day-to-day basis. I don't know why I have this one. I'm sure there's a reason why I got it. I think I got it for my brother's high school graduation, which that says a lot that I'm 29 and I can still fit into it. But I have this one skirt, and I pressed it just for the dance so that way I could get into it and not get called out on having a shorter skirt. I was wearing Sailor Mercury, even though my Sailor Mercury is, oh, the skirt that I have for that is a little bit longer than most normal Sailor Scouts, and it's just to be presentable. But my skirt got ruined Saturday morning. My dog is muddy paws and gunk it up to bits and pieces. Not so fun, not so happy. So the second that I got there, I hunted down some of the members that I knew were going to be working security that night. And I was like, here's the situation. I am so sorry. I want to be so respectful to your rules. Is it still okay that I come in wearing my Sailor Mercury and not get yelled at? And they said, you're a member of the press. It's fine. It's not a problem. And I was like, are you sure? I really want to be, respectful to you guys. And they're like, it's totally fine. You're one of us anyway. So I have to thank them for like the umpteenth million time. And I know they're getting sick and tired of me of saying sorry and thank you, but I have to thank them again for being not only really nice and polite and for telling me thank you for being so considerate of them and their rules. So thank you guys. That was very nice of you.
Speaking of thank yous, we actually do have a few viewers that are in our chat room right now, so we would like to say thank you guys for hanging out with us. As always, if you have any questions or commentary, go ahead and leave us a comment in the chat room, and we will be happy to either address it in the room or on air, whichever. And we would also like to say congrats to Drew, and I believe her name is Gretchen.
You got it.
Those who were not at Anime Fest did not have a chance to see that Drew actually proposed to his girlfriend
It was
at
very
the
sweet hearing.
dance, at the TMCC dance. And if you have not yet seen the video, go watch. You will be very hard pressed not to cry because he did a really, really good job with his proposal.
It was very sweet, and I know as I was sitting there trying to get video of this, I was like, Drew, you're trying to make me cry. Stop it. I'm trying to keep my angle steady. Stop it. Stop it.
So, of course, from all of us in the Cospod Nation, we say congratulations and good job, man.
They're so adorable together. It's ridiculous. All right, I'm done with Anime Fest. Why don't we get on to your tutorial?
Right, on to the tutorials. And
Yay.
Hey, Podders. How's it going? Sorry. It's been a really, really long week, and I'm a little loopy because I'm really tired, just the nature of my job. I apologize in advance if this is a little bit darker and more grainy than usual, as I'm actually shooting this on my handheld camera instead of with a Canon, simply because my new desktop does not appear to have a FireWire port, so I don't have a way of shooting with the Canon yet on my new desktop until I get an adapter. So that will be solved. Until then, this is what I got. So, this is a tutorial on how to build sectioned weapons, which, if you've actually been watching our show, I've done one of these before. This is actually a third method that I did not cover in the first tutorial. This one I've come to call the plug and socket method, and it will become very obvious why here in just a second. I went ahead and used PVC pipe for the body of my staff for my weapon, simply because it is extremely cheap. It is easy to find. You can get this at pretty much any hardware store, and it comes in a number of lengths and widths. Now, you probably want to consult your local convention rules as far as how wide your weapon can be, in other words, what diameter you're allowed to use for the body of your weapon, because you don't want to spend 30 hours making a weapon and then have the con tell you that you're not allowed to have it there because it defies their rules, basically. Now, this particular PVC pipe is only 1 inch in diameter. It's very, very small. It's very inflexible, at least at this length. This is 3 feet, incidentally. The total length of my weapon is 6 feet. Some cons actually have a limit, I believe, of up to 8 feet, so bear that in mind as you're making these sorts of weapons. Originally, I bought this as a 10-foot PVC pipe length at Home Depot, and it was $1.74 for 10 feet. So yes, it is extraordinarily cheap to buy PVC pipe. And then you have to get something called a PVC pipe cutter. And PVC pipe cutters are, as the name implies, cutters for PVC pipe. They look a little bit like this when open, if I can pop the safety off. Incidentally, I have the safety on this, which is a very good thing because the blade is very sharp. There we go. Come on, open up. There you go. It looked like this when open. So it kind of has a weird jaw shape to it. And I usually use it this way, as opposed to this way, although you can use it either, simply because this way I can see where I'm cutting. So what I did is I took a 10-foot length of PVC pipe, and you may or may not be able to see it with the lighting on here, but there is masking tape here on the end of the staff piece. And that is because what I did is I took the entire length and I took a cloth tape measure out of my sewing box, useful little things, and I measured 3 feet, 36 inches, and then I made little hash marks with permanent marker. I measured in a couple of places around the staff so that I could get an idea of where I needed to cut. Because when you cut this, you want it to be as flush, 90-degree perpendicular as possible, so that your two pieces of the staff fit together cleanly. If they're diagonally cut, which this one I was actually a little bit off, I wasn't quite 90 degrees, I was like 92 degrees, then you'll be able to see a gap when you put the two pieces of your staff together, unless you mask it with something. So I went ahead and marked my cutting line with permanent marker, and then I put masking tape around it to make sure that my cut was even, at least as even as I could get it. If you choose to cut your PVC pipe with something else, like a hacksaw, you can use a miter box, which is basically a tool that has little slots in it so that you can make a very accurate, either angled or perpendicular cut using your saw. They're very good little things to have, and they're inexpensive. They're between $5 and $10 for a miter box, and hacksaws can run you all the way up to $20 for a good one. But PVC pipe cutters are made for cutting PVC pipe. And this was about $12 at Lowe's. So that wasn't bad. When you're done using this, so this is a ratchet variety. When you close it actually ratchets closer and closer together, which is how it cuts. Make sure that when you're done, you close it, blade shut, and then if it has a safety, put the safety lock on so that it won't open. especially if you have young kids in the house, because they will get a hold of it, and this can cut fingers off. So safety first, you know, close the blade, safety on, don't put this where kids can get it. So, I have my pieces of PVC pipe. You can cut this into more than two lengths if you want to. You can have three, you can have four sections, as many as you want. But I have two, because I want it to be 6 feet, so I have 2 3-foot lengths of pipe, which will eventually go together like so. Like that. And you see it's slightly taller than me. This is a good length to fit in a car. It is probably not a good length to have to fit into a suitcase or package. So that is something to consider when choosing your length as what you're going to pack it in. This will end up getting thrown into my car, incidentally. Another thing about PVC pipe as opposed to wood is that it is light. I have built wooden staves before. In fact, there's one up here on my wall, my Athena staff. It is built of dowel. It is a 1-inch diameter dowel, and it is a lot heavier than this is. Speaking of dowel, segue. To connect the two, this is the plug. And I've only done half so that you can see exactly what it is I did. So I have my dowel here. This is a 36-inch dowel. And the top of it is covered in black duct tape. Why duct tape? Well, for a couple of reasons, because duct tape is cheap and widely available. You can get it at pretty much any retail store. It doesn't have to be black. I just happen to have a bunch of black duct tape around. And also, it's very tactile. It's sticky on the outside. It's grippy, so that I won't have to really do anything to it once I've wrapped it. So the first thing I did with the dowel is I knew that I wanted half the dowel to be in the bottom and half the dowel to be in the top so that the joint was even. So I had to mark the halfway point on the dowel with black marker. I used Sharpie again, of course. In fact, I actually mismarked it the first time, which is why there are two sets of hash marks. So this is the halfway point right here. So what I did is first I took the dowel and I stuck it in the PVC pipe to see if it fit. Of course, I did this at Lowe's before I actually brought it home, but you want to make sure that the dowel is thin enough to actually go in to the PVC pipe. If you have to push and wedge it, it's too big. It needs to have a little bit of room. You probably won't find a dowel that's exactly the diameter of your PVC pipe. So unfortunately, mine is a little bit too loose. When I'm, you know, swinging my staff around, I don't want it to whoo and fly across the convention hall, because then they'll ban me. So this is too loose, which is why I wrapped it in duct tape, is to give it a greater diameter and to give it a grip. I had to experiment with the number of times I had to go around the dowel with the duct tape. It may take you like 5, 6, 8 rounds of duct tape to get it thick enough. For me, it was 5. I had to have 5 revolutions of duct tape. And what you want to do is have it be just enough to where it will go down in the pipe, but it won't slide down. You want it to have some grip. You want it to be just big enough to stick, but still go in, which is, you know, duct tape, grippy. I want it to grip the inside of the pipe. You can also use Plasti-Dip for this. Plasti-Dip is just a rubber spray. It is a spray on rubber coating that you use for tool handles. You can also use it to coat something to give it a grippy surface like this. So I went ahead and did up to the halfway point so that you can see. And you can see I kind of have to work just a little bit getting this in there. That's good, because when I put the two ends together, it means it's not going to fly apart. Now, you don't want it so bad that you can't pull it back out. You still want to be able to pull it back out, because part of the point of this is to be able to take your staff apart, right? And when I have the plug in here, you know, this is longer than 3 feet. If I only have 3 feet worth of space, well, I'm kind of sunk. So if you want to glue this in here, if you want to glue the plug into the socket, you can. That's perfectly okay. I highly recommend using Gorilla Glue or automotive strength glue, just because of the amount of pressure and use weight that you're going to be putting on it. There we go. So, like that. So I have my plug. I'm sorry, I have my socket, and I have my plug. So once I have that, then of course the other logical step is to put the other end on top, which eventually I will wrap this end in duct tape as well. Like so. So now I have a sectioned weapon. Now, if you want to, you can disguise this joint. You can use fabric, you can use bias tape, you can use duct tape. You can use whatever you want to kind of hide this joint or make it look like the joint is part of the wrapping of your weapon so that people don't kind of look at it and go, oh, hey, that's a two-part staff, and it breaks the realism. So, you know, now I have 6-foot staff. And now I can take it apart whenever I need to. And now I have storable staff. That easy, right? The other thing is that if you're going to do a spear or something similar, then it also has to be able to plug into your staff. It feels so weird saying plug into your staff. But I had a preliminary Bicento blade, which, incidentally, this was my experiment with Ultimate Mache, for those who have seen me talking about it on my blog. Basically, I mixed fiberglass resin with paper mache glue to try and kind of get the best of both worlds of fiberglass and paper mache. I would say that it wasn't a disaster at all, nor was it a stellar success. It doesn't seem to be worth it, because you get the middle of both worlds. I didn't actually get the best. It is nice and hard. This is only 2 layers, which what I wanted to do was to get the strength of fiberglass with the cheapness and availability of paper mache with as few layers as possible. So with 2 layers, this is a pretty good hardness for 2 layers, considering the slight amount of paper mache I used with this. It ended up having a really weird texture, incidentally. It was kind of a goop that you paint on. I would imagine it's similar to Bondo, actually. But you can see that I have a plug here at the bottom. I have an extra length. And what I had to do was figure out the diameter of the inside of the PVC pipe and then make this match as closely as I could. Now, unfortunately, this has a more square shape to it, so, you know, square peg, round hole. So it doesn't fit as well as it probably should. I went ahead and put masking tape around it to try and, you know, round off the edges a little bit. And I bolstered it with popsicle sticks to give it extra diameter. Originally, this was made of foam board in the middle here. And then I spackled the edges to make them smooth. I didn't actually sand it because I'm actually going to throw this one out. There's a big reason why. I'll tell you in a minute. And then I sandwiched the foam board in between 2 pieces of craft foam, and that was what I paper mache'd on top of. Unfortunately, the reason I'm throwing this out is because of this. Unfortunately, I did not bolster the plug enough, and that's what you need to do when you make a blade that needs to plug in. You need to make sure that the plug portion of it, this part, is strong all the way up through, like about here, the core of the blade, because there's no strength here. Basically, I stopped bolstering it right after here, so now it flops because of the weight. So if I were to put this in here and someone hit it, the blade's just going to shear off. So when you make your blade to go in here, your spear blade or what have you, make sure that it's strong all the way up through probably a third of your blade. Not quite full tang, as they would call it, but at least a third. So what you would do, make sure it's the correct diameter, and then like the center plug, I just slide it in. And I'm not going to slide it in all the way because this is really grippy and I'll never be able to get it back out. So it looks something like that. My floppy blade, yes. So when you put it all together, of course these are all separate pieces so that you can bring them with you in a much smaller space, and sometimes twisting The plug will help you get it in there better. Like that. And there you go. So that is your sectioned weapon. If you guys have any questions, comments, concerns, ways I can improve this technique, please do let me know, because I'm always looking for ways that I can improve this. But I think that this is honestly a really cool way of building sectioned weapons that allows you to take it in a very portable way to a convention, assemble it quickly, and then disassemble it quickly as needed. As you can see, I did that in under 30 seconds. So hopefully that proves of use to you in your future cosplay endeavors.
And we're back. I didn't blow anything up.
I hope you didn't. There's no reason for you to set anything on fire that I'm aware of.
Not for another 2 months.
Okay,
which,
cool.
Which, Clinton, I know when you watch this, you will think of me and my fire spinning performance that I will be doing in October and filming.
Sweet.
It will not be a segment on this show. The show is about cosplay. It may end up in an after session.
I will find some way to have it uploaded into YouTube, not to worry.
There is already footage of me spinning fire on YouTube.
Oh, cool. We need to find it.
It already exists. It's on my personal YouTube channel somewhere. It's been a long time since I had that sort of thing filmed. Anyways, with all of what's been going on with Heroes of Cosplay, which we will not go back over because everybody has pretty much said what needs to be said.
Yeah, everyone
at this point
has. And I'm at the point of where apparently people liked and disliked my columns on one of the geek sites that I've written for, that I've been doing weekly updates for them. So I'm like, yay, I'm getting paid to do writing. Cool. So I've talked about it way too much.
Yes, and we just got a comment in the room that AFES should consult with cosplayers on what panels they need. Yes, but first they need to really kind of mend their fences with the cosplay community. Let's just put it that way.
That's a nice way of putting it. Very PC.
I will leave it at that, because I think both the staff and the cosplayers know what is going on and know what needs to be done. So I will just leave it there. But yes, I think they should consult the cosplay community on what should be taught, because we can teach a lot of it.
Yeah.
But speaking of Heroes of Cosplay, if you have not listened to the most recent CosCast, I highly encourage you to go listen to it. I believe it is entitled Heroes of Cosplay Drinking Game.
It is an awesome drinking game.
And
I recommend it.
and I'm not necessarily saying that you need to play the drinking game, which is not what the episode does, incidentally.
I know.
They just address it. But Matt Lewis says a lot of really good things about the show that I think need to be said. And likewise, Joey also says a lot of things that need to be said. You know, from someone who has not actually watched much of the series, as he admits. So I highly encourage you to go listen to the most recent podcast, which I think you can find on the Nerd Reactor website. So go give
it's
that episode a listen. It's really good stuff. Drinking game aside, they actually have been talking a lot about body image as cosplayers, because there's been a lot made of the fact that people are cosplaying who may not necessarily look a lot like the characters they're cosplaying, or they may be overweight, or they may have, you know, body disorders.
Or even one is, I believe it was one of the producers of the show who said that they focus more on female cosplayers and less on male cosplayers, because men are more likely to do armor and do big heavy things, whereas women are going to be more attractive looking and wear skimpier things, which people want to see. And it's just like, well, already you're trying to screw with our mind on what's appropriate and what's not appropriate. I mean, come on, guys.
Cosplay is not porn.
No, it is not.
Let me say that again. Cosplay is not porn. We are not here to exhibit our bodies for you. We are not here to be ogled over. This is not what cosplay is for. So for the producers to imply such a thing, like we're just here to have people stare at our bodies, both as men and women, that's not what we're here. I mean, to reduce it to its basest form, cosplay is a form of expression. It's expressing you. It's expressing your love of a character. It's expressing your love of a series. It's expressing your love of a craft. It's all about expression, not necessarily about intent of presentation, I guess is kind of the best way I could put that.
Yeah.
Basically, we don't do it because we want people to stare. I mean, yeah, we
We
want
know that
people
they're
to.
going to stare.
We know that they're going to stare, and we know that they're going to take pictures and
And
see us
comment and
in
all that stuff.
costume,
Yeah.
and they're going to judge and they're going to criticize. We know all of this. But the whole point of it isn't to sexualize costumes, nor is it to encourage the judging of people, because one, nobody has a perfect body. That doesn't exist. So, frankly, trying to judge people against an ideal that doesn't actually exist is really poor form. Especially if you get into, religious norms about judging against what is supposed to be divinely perfect. I believe there are phrases, mentioning judge not in certain holy books.
Yep.
And so, that said, I think we need to be really careful about trying to put certain characters in a box because not everybody cosplays to be like a character. Cosplay is kind of open-ended
Yeah, exactly.
in that it's however we interpret what we want cosplay to be for us. There's not a really hard and fast definition of exactly what cosplay is and must be. So some people just like dressing up. It's no different than dressing up to go to a masquerade or to a ball or to church or to graduation. It's all dressing up. And so, frankly, you assuming that this person is trying to look exactly like a character and you're going to criticize them if they don't look 100% like that character is a little arrogant, I would think. And quite frankly, glass house and stones and such, perhaps we should not be throwing them. If we do not have our own affairs in order, let me put
Right.
it that way. And they, I mean, there was something said, I believe, in episode 2 about those who are overweight or having body disorders should plan on being criticized when they cosplay. And without going into who said it and that sort of thing. I don't think that's for us to criticize as cosplayers. I mean, we should honestly, as a community, be supporting other cosplayers in their endeavors. I mean, provided they're not trying to do something illegal or, putting another cosplayer down. But just, the general pursuit of cosplay, we should encourage that regardless of body shape. And we should not have to expect criticism just because we have flaws in our body. That may or may not show when we are wearing a costume. And just the notion of that criticism can actually drive people to not cosplay. I know that I've changed my own wardrobe because I fear criticism of certain parts of my body. Therefore, I don't wear cosplays that show those parts of my body, which I think closes off a lot of creative avenues for me. And it restricts my cosplay because I know I will get criticized. And I don't think that's fair. Because, frankly, we should all be okay with the bodies that we live in. Because this is our house for our life, It's not like you can suddenly change your entire body to the way you want it to be in a day or even a week. I mean, yeah,
Right.
you can constantly work on, exercise, have good diet, that sort of thing. But, genetics isn't something we can fight against, and we just need to take account of that. Some people just may not be able to change certain parts of themselves, and we should be okay with that. You don't necessarily have to approve, but I think as cosplayers, we should at the very least be tolerant. But granted, this is also my opinion and my ranting. And,
It's one of those two, I mean, because this is also taken from a reality show. I think most people don't realize that that one little snippet of the conversation they had was of a 2-hour discussion. over dinner. So it's very possible that some of it was taken out of context. Some of it may not have been taken out of context. We don't know the full situation. We don't know the full story. We're not going to see all of it. So in light of that, I think the fact that it has been brought up, has been prompting us to talk about it, is actually a good thing and making us realize what type of community we want to become. And I think as more and more of us are on the side of, hey, it's okay for everybody to cosplay, irregardless of their size, their shape, their color, their religion, whatever, that's a good thing for the community. So as backwards as that may sound, because we're talking about it, we're actually prompting a good, better moral stance on things. So thumbs up for that. I know that sounds so backwards, but sometimes out of the bad, the good can happen.
Right. And of course, having a show like this kind of shows us in a way of what producers want the world to see the cosplay community as. And we have a chance to see that face, the face of cosplay that they're presenting, and go, I don't think we want people to think of us like that. We need to put on a different face for the community. And so
Exactly.
we can figure out as a cosplay community how we want people to actually see us as opposed to the reality show presenting us in a certain way. Because, I mean, yeah, there's six cosplayers on the show, I think. Five, six? Maybe like
Dang, I don't
around
remember.
that. A double handful of cosplayers
That's
on
something
that
like that.
show. And, like all reality shows, those who are ignorant are going to take those people as true representatives of the entirety of cosplay. They're not. They're really fantastic people in their own individual right, but they do not represent the entirety of the cosplay community
Exactly.
in all of its glory and not so glory. So I hope that people don't take that show to be the entirety. And I also hope that people don't, hear those conversations and take them too seriously to heart, especially about body image, to the point where it prevents you from enjoying. Because the whole point of the show is to, at least start the conversation about cosplay. And it has certainly done that.
It's definitely done that. There's no question.
So I would just say that, to those with body images out there, hi.
Everybody has a
We've
body
been
image
there.
issue. No one. Okay, there are supermodels who think that there is something wrong with them. And this is coming from somebody. I did modeling when I was a little bit younger. Man, oh God, I just made myself sound like a billion years older. Dang it.
Cosplay elder.
Okay. But I mean, like, I've done print magazines and stuff like that, and I've heard, like, beautiful women, like, women that you would think are, like, the most perfect version of perfectionist times a billion, still think there's something wrong with them. Every single one of us has a body image issue, so you are not alone in that. Never let anybody tell you or talk down to you or discourage you from doing what you want to do. If you want to dress up like Superman and you're 200 pounds or you're 500 pounds, so what? Do it. If that's what's going to make you happy, then do it. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise.
And just keep in mind that those who are criticizing may be using it as a way to lash out in anger and frustration themselves about their own internal issues. So don't take it too personally because, those who are criticizing you may have their own issues and they're not necessarily like trying to get down on you. They're just lashing out in general and you just happen to be the target. So try not to take it too personally. I know I say that and it sounds very trite, but it's not meant to be. It's coming from someone who has, in fact, been there, done that, and worn the t-shirt many,
Yeah.
many times.
Got the bumper
So,
sticker, got the souvenirs, got everything, and then some. Yeah.
So we have, in fact, been there. So I did want to discuss that, I don't want to say briefly because I wasn't terribly brief,
We're never brief.
but body image is something that I feel very strongly about, and I think is criticized too much because we hold ourselves up to an impossible ideal, and I think that's wrong. I think that we should hold ourselves up to a realistic ideal and work towards, being better people rather than being perfect. And, we've got our own body image issues that we still deal with on a daily basis. So,
Oh, every
you
freaking
know,
day.
that this
I
is
know.
not a solvable problem. This is a journey.
I know for me yesterday.
I feel like I'm so
Oh my
kind
God.
of, I don't want to say trite, but I'm just kind of like,
You went to like
not,
motivational speaker mode.
yes, that. It's like I'm orating.
You're saying these things in hopes that people will listen, but probably not.
They'll just laugh at me, which is cool too.
We're here for entertainment purposes.
Yes,
Yay!
we are here to make fools of ourselves for your entertainment. Which is okay. I mean, if you can't laugh at yourself, then you're going to be a very depressed person.
That's very true. It's life is much more fun when you can make fun of yourself. Man, I need to stop using like the same words in the sentence like 5 times. I'm getting so bad today. This is the result of me being tired. But what I
But
was going to say, and I was going to add, was that I know for me, a lot of what I've done this year, as I've gone into more and more revealing costumes, I found I'm using less spandex stuff to cover up body parts. I'm using topstick when necessary. That's been still pretty rare. I construct things really well. I don't have to use it. And a lot of that had to stem from my experience from PAX East, not the actual convention itself, but because my picture of my Asari was featured on BioWare's page. And for those who do not know, when you're featured on a big company's website, it's a blessing and a curse. A blessing in that more people will start following your work and you'll get more fans, which if you're interested in that, that's great. For me, when I'm trying to get my commission stuff opened up later this year, hey, that's more money for me. Cool. It's also a curse because you get a lot more people watching you and calling you very ugly things and saying mean things about you. I got so much crap back because I was wearing a bodysuit instead of having my cleavage all up out there and painted and whatnot. And initially I was a little hurt by it, but then I started reading the rest of the comments and people were making fun of one of BioWare's model representatives, Rana, who is like the literal face model of one of the characters from the game. And I was like, well, wait a minute. You're not just ridiculing me, you're ridiculing a person who worked for BioWare and is the image of this character. Something's wrong here. It's not me. It's something's wrong with you. And ever since I've had that revelation, I've just gone into, again, I don't give a crap mode. I'm going to do what I want to do, and I'm going to be happy doing it. And while I was scared out of my mind yesterday and the fact that I was wearing a ridiculously short skirt that I've never worn so short in my entire life, even though I still had like boy shorts on, and I was exposing my stomach and I was exposing my cleavage, even with the modesty panel, that's also the most that I've ever felt comfortable enough with myself to do it. And it took me 29 years to do it. So when you get to that point, it is a fantastic feeling. So try your best not to let people discourage you, because man, just being able to run around like that and knowing that I did such a fantastic job with the costume, I'm hoping, because I got actually a lot of girls that took my photos. Not very many guys did. A lot of women did. I think knowing that and people recognize the fact that I put so much craftsmanship into it made people want to take photos. It wasn't just me being in a skimpy outfit. That's an awesome feeling.
Sigma Chicken in the chat room actually has a really good comment, which is that they are not the heroes of cosplay. If you've seen the picture memes floating around on Facebook and on the internet in general, especially on Tumblr, there's been a meme around that shows a screenshot of Heroes of Cosplay. And it says, "These are not the heroes of cosplay." And then underneath, it shows a photo of cosplayers going to hospitals in
I've done that.
cosplay
Yeah.
and hanging out with the sick kids there. And it says, "These are the heroes of cosplay." And to be honest, cosplayers who give of their time to serve their community, especially for those who are, particularly down, the elderly, sick kids, that sort of thing, helping out at food kitchens or helping out maybe in parades, those really are heroes of cosplay because they're doing such wonderful things, and they give cosplay a good name, all in the same way. And they're not doing it, for the photo op. They're doing it because it makes them feel really good as people and because they're helping. And I know that we as Cospod, later this year, because every year we usually pick a charity to support, that we will probably be looking at some sort of charity project this year that we hope to get other DFW cosplayers and maybe, other cosplayers around the world involved in. So look forward to hearing from us on that probably in a couple of months once we get logistics worked out.
I actually have a
Because,
good
of course,
idea that I want to talk to you now. I had an idea
because
that came to my head that I'm totally going to talk to you about when we're not on the air.
yeah, because as cosplayers, we want to give back to the community in whatever way we can. And that is what being a hero of cosplay really is, at least to me.
There is nothing cooler, and I've done this before, not as a 501st member, but I've attended one of their gatherings as my Sage Ventress. There is nothing cooler than going to a hospital and brighting up a kid's day. And being in full stormtrooper armor, just watching their faces light up, it is the greatest feeling in the universe.
I mean, you don't even have to even go and cosplay. If you bring them,
No.
because I know that there are a couple of women across the US who take scrap fabric and make superhero capes. And then she goes and brings them to the hospital so that the little sick kids can go around pretending to be superheroes. I mean, that is pretty awesome
It
stuff.
is beyond cool.
So, of course, I mean, if you have a chapter of a particular charity near you that does that sort of thing, or organizes trips to hospitals, or takes donations of fabric to do that sort of thing, we totally encourage you to take part in that. Totally, without reservation. Yes, participate in those sorts of groups, provided they are legit, to serve your community. Because we're entering, excuse me, we're entering that period of the year around Thanksgiving where, we should consider being thankful for what we have. Especially as cosplayers. And if you have an abundance, consider giving back. I know that there's a lot of cosplayers that have posted on Facebook recently that they're in, some pretty dire straits. There are people losing their jobs unexpectedly. There have been people who have lost their home to fire. There have been people with sick pets. And I'm saying these in general because I don't have their permission to actually say their names. As I don't want to, emphasize their hardship unless I have permission. But, if you see a fellow cosplayer in need and you have something that you can do to help them, we encourage you to help them, even if it's just sharing their page on your website, if it's donating to their PayPal, if it's donating time, or maybe putting up some commissions of your own to raise money. All these different things, we really encourage you to help your fellow man. Because I think, that's one of the greatest happiness invoking things that you can do in your life is help people.
Exactly. How did this become like a giant PSA?
Well, as cosplayers, we have a show, we have an audience of over 10,000 people. This is part of our way of giving back, is we tell people that you can do these things, and we encourage you to do them and to share these things with your friends and get them to help out too. So we're just using our microphone that we happen to have to make good things happen, as well as doing good things ourselves. So, if you got it, use it. We happen to have a mic. We're going to use it. If I can use this show to do one good thing every year, I'm happy. Because I have changed one life with this show in a positive way.
There you go.
So, on that gloriously preachy note, we will head into our outro. So, as usual, you can contact us on Twitter at CosPodcast. Our DeviantArt, I believe, is cospod.deviantart.com.
Art.com, yep.
You can Facebook us, which is a verb now apparently, at Cosplay Podcast. You can email us at podcast@cospod.org. You can also check out our website, which is slowly being overhauled, at cospod.org. And of course, you can leave comments on this video when it appears on our YouTube channel, which is Cospodcast.
That's
Yeah,
all
I
like
got them
so much
all!
social media. Oh
Yes!
my God. I'm surprised.
We are everywhere.
I have our Tumblr for us, but we just don't use it because it's too much.
Yes, and we will see you in episode 45. We're not entirely sure what we're going to do yet, but if you have suggestions, questions, comments, or concerns on what we can do in episode 45, Contact us through any one of the above methods and let us know how you feel. With that, we're out of here. Later,
bye,
dudes.
guys.